your host, Hal Shortliff. This show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday and Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is also heard on our YouTube channel. We upload a copy probably within a few days of its airing. Also on Podomatic.com, we have a Podomatic page, and I'm pleased to say that we've been in the top 10 for the last several weeks, and we even hit number one for a few days. So thank you for making that happen. It is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp, and next year's camp will be held in beautiful Plainfield, New Hampshire, the Singing Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center, July 19th to the 24th. And one of our instructors is on the line now. How are you doing, Miss Debbie Bacigalupi?
I am well, Mr. Hal Shortliff. If I'm talking a little bit quiet, I'm at a hotel right now in Iceland, and so I'm in a public place right now. But anyway, so happy to be like almost close to home. Hearing your voice just makes me feel so much closer to home after a very long trip to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change Conference, COP25, where, Hal, I ran into our friend Greta Thunberg.
That's amazing. So I'm sure Greta is packing her bags, and she plans on attending next year's camp that we had invited her and her family. So did she give you her camp application all ready to roll? No.
But I missed the opportunity to invite her and also invite her dad. I had a several-minute conversation with her dad. I identified him out of the crowd, and while Greta was giving her final hurrah and telling the crowd that she's not going to talk about her personal feelings about climate change, but rather that she's going to talk about the science with a capital S, I had the opportunity to talk to her father about their trip and whether or not he's nervous about her safety and protection. How it is unbelievable, the frenzy around this tiny little 16-year-old. And when I ran into Greta at COP24 last year in Katowice, Poland, she was sitting one row and several seats over, one row in front of me, several seats to the left of me, and she was quite heavier than she is now. Plus, she had a bunch of plastic with her, a big old plastic bag.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you say heavy, are you saying a healthy heavy or?
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. And so I talked to her father, Sven, I think is his name. That's probably wrong. But Mr. Thunberg, anyway, about her health this year, he says she's perfectly healthy. I can tell you, somebody who has struggled with eating disorders, I can tell you that she is, for a 16-year-old, much too thin as, you know, through the maturing process. So much too thin, way too thin. She is, I would say, anorexic, borderline anorexic. So he says she's fine, but, you know, I also asked him what was it like to drive around in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Tesla while he was in North America and Canada, and he said it was fun. And I don't know if you've seen the recent video of done by a really awesome Canadian journalist. His name's Kian Bexty. He's like the next best thing. We need to get him to Camp Constitution. He found the Tesla that Greta and her father were driving around in, and it is a dumpster. He is calling it climate contraband. She's got plastic all over the car, plastic straws, plastic bags, plastic cups. And this video that he did of the Tesla, and he shared, then he went around COP25 at the United Nations conference in Madrid and interviewed people about, what do you think about people driving Teslas and using plastic? And they were calling them, you know, planetary villains. And it turns out,
right,
when they found out it was Greta, they were like, no, I can't believe it. Not our hero. But anyway, that's available on YouTube at Rebel News.
I saw that video.
So
I think you
fun.
Sent me a link to it.
So good.
Also,
and it just goes to show. Yeah, go ahead.
Craig Rucker, I believe, of CFACT, I think it was Craig, or one of his people, they were speaking, trying to get a hold of Harrison Ford, the another attendee at this conference in Madrid that you attended, and there was a big Burger King stand there selling meat, the horrible meat, red meat, or of course they fry it up or whatever they do with it, grill it. And the place was loaded with climate change participants, many of them in favor of climate, like 99% of the people there were big climate change advocates. And I think he was trying to say, so Harrison, what are your thoughts here? You know, and he said, I'm a vegetarian now. He wouldn't address the issue
about the utter hypocrisy. Harrison Ford flying his private plane, miles and miles just to get a hamburger somewhere. He doesn't address that jet-setting lifestyle.
Oh, I'm sure. No. But that's what Al Gore says, too, that he's vegetarian. And you know, coming from me, proud to be a cattle rancher in America, that everything we're touching is livestock byproduct. So it's impossible to be vegan or vegetarian. And to hear these climate change fanatic hypocrites say that, oh, I've changed my lifestyle. No, you mm-hmm. haven't. You are still one of the uber elites. Your carbon footprint, Harrison Ford, is probably quadruple, maybe 10 times, 100 times more than the average person per day. I'm sure. And, you know, John Kerry, I ran into John Kerry. I took some pictures of him. He was lying about, I mean, these guys, before I get into anything too deep, these guys who call themselves, you know, climate change, I don't know, climate change, what do we call it? They call us the skeptics and the deniers.
Deniers, right.
Yeah, we're the skeptics.
I call them the warmers, right? Well, that's what they're, one of the terms.
Okay.
Well, John Kerry is so sustainable. When he was living, he has a place with his wife in Boston's Beacon Hill, which is one of the better neighborhoods. And there was a fire hydrant in front of his townhouse, and they had it removed and put someplace else because it's so inconvenient for the creme de la creme to have to park someplace else. So. It shows you here was this guy. He was a skull and bonesman, but here he is back in the late 60s after his tour of duty in Vietnam, dressing up in dirty fatigues and going around. In fact, a friend of mine was in a church when he was showing North Vietnam propaganda films. So he's your typical watermelon, you know, with the old saying, green on the outside, red on the inside. Mm-hmm. Watermelon elite.
Yeah.
But I want to get back to Greta.
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of people, and I'm one of them, that believe that Greta is basically a victim of child abuse, not physical abuse, but mental abuse. I think she actually believes this. Do you think she actually believes this type of thing, or is she just a good actress?
That's a great question, Hal. It turns out that we heard firsthand that the sister of Greta also has Asperger's, and the sister is being set up, and this is not verified, even though we heard firsthand, this is not verified, that the sister is being set up to be the feminist face of climate change. So, and if you look up Greta's mother, you could tell that I think the father is an actor and the mother is an author. And you just look at the pictures and clearly they love to be posted online. And I happen to meet. So your question is, do you think that she truly believes this? I asked her father, does Greta believe this? That was I got it on film. I didn't get it him mm-hmm. on film. I didn't want him to know that I was filming him. But I did get the conversation on film. It was super loud in the room. Greta was given the opportunity to speak at a high-level crowd, meaning a high-level event. These are all where all the bigwigs are in the audience. And then shortly after she spoke, the youth stormed the stage, yelling, keep it in the ground, keep it in the ground, and stolen mm-hmm. land. So there are a lot of indigenous people going back to, you stole our land, we want it back, you colonizers, you bad colonizers, things like that. You know, people have the power and the power. I mean, these chants have been haunting me daily.
I have to say, you have a lot of courage here. Debbie, you are a courageous lady. I don't know if I could stay 4, 5, 6 days at an event like that and put up with listen to all that communist propaganda. I don't know how you do
it.
My hat's off to you.
2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
2 weeks. I was there the very first day.
You should get combat pain.
Thank you. And, you know, to finish up with the Greta question, on the third day of the conference, December 3rd, I actually skipped the conference and went to a Heartland Institute event. Heartland flew out of the United States, flew people like Dr. Will Happer, who else was there? Tom Harris from Canada, Wolfgang Mueller from Germany. There were quite a few people. A civil engineer, Douglas Pollock from Chile, all these experts in their own field who are saying that this whole climate change, man-made global warming is a hoax, the science doesn't fit it, that the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has manipulated and over-exaggerated their numbers. They invited Christopher Monckton was there, of course. Oh, our own Christopher Monckton was there.
And that's
so
great.
On December 3rd, yeah, and go have your listeners go to Heartland Institute, go to the YouTube page and watch. It's like 5 hours long, but it's worth watching. You will hear from Douglas Pollock, for example, how the Chilean government has made these green regulations so high, expensive high, for the people that is why they're protesting in the street. Don't believe what you're hearing in the news.
Right.
And so Douglas Pollock ends up in tears because he's so sad for his people and what his government is doing to his people. Then you'll hear from a young woman named Naomi Zeit. She's German. She's 19, and she's at the very tail end of this Heartland Institute 5-hour interviews with all these experts on saying, don't believe what you're hearing in the media. Do your own research. Look at the wind turbines and how they're slicing and dicing hundreds of thousands of birds. And then the bats that even get near these wind turbines, their lungs are too precious. Their ears are too precious that, you know, the power of the wind turbines, the motion of the wind turbines just kills these animals and you don't hear about it. Well, after, you know, testimonies like that comes this Naomi Seip. And she believes, she's 19 years old, she is a climate realist, and she's getting tons of views right now because she is the only young person I know of who's really looked at the science, was a climate change believer, and because that's the education that she has grown up in, and has changed her mind. She watched a Heartland Institute event, and it changed her mind. And so now she's talking about climate realism. She joined us. She joined us at the Heartland Institute, and then I spent the last couple days with her too. Precious girl. She is also suffers from her own eating disorder, so she identifies greatly with Greta. And she believes she is extremely anorexic. I can say that safely, even though she has admitted that you look at her and you can tell that she suffers tremendously from an eating disorder, and she is a delight, let me tell you. So put her in your prayers. Put Naomi Seip in your prayers.
How do you spell the last name?
She claims S-S-E-I-B as in boy, T as in Tom. S-E-I-B as in boy, T as in Tom. She has her own YouTube. She's German. But you can also go to Rebel News and find her video, her interview with Kian Bexty, who did the Tesla interview with the Tesla reporting on Greta and her family. He's also, just to throw this in as a side, Kian also, and he's a millennial, he's up and coming. What a great reporter. We'll have to have him to Camp Constitution too. Dynamite. But he also, the reason he was covering Greta when she was in Canada in the first place is because it was 2 days before a major election. And so he identified her as a foreigner coming into Canada to impact a Canadian election. So he called her out on it. He, you know, was, he followed her around and said, "Why are you even here?" He paid $350 out of his own money to rent a hotel room where she was staying so that he can get into a lounge area to overhear her conversation, because he knew that what Greta was there for. I mean, this is awesome stuff. That's something I would do. That is something I would totally do. But I don't know if I'd have the bravery, as Kian did, to go confront little Miss Greta and her family. And I only say that because, you know, I don't mean to be harsh on her. And as a Christian, I probably shouldn't make fun. But you know, I mean, this stuff is so serious and heavy and doom and gloom for our future unless we can stop it, that, you know, I'm adding a little brevity to it so I don't get too serious. You know how serious I get. But anyway, he was able to confront her. Now back to Naomi and her assessment of Greta. She believes that Greta is in a bubble. She's caught in this bubble of doom and gloom indoctrination called man-made anthropogenic climate change, climate emergency, climate crisis. She thinks that Greta means well, but Greta is surrounded by this, I'm calling it propaganda from COP25, propaganda from the COP conference called, I'm now dubbing propaganda. There is so much propaganda out there about these COP conferences, convention of parties. We're at the 25th one, even though this one is dubbed a failure here in 2019, they are gearing up for next year, big time. And here's what I think we're going to see over the next year. We are going to see young people and Greta leading the charge. She just got Person of the Year. Greta leading the charge. They see these things, their rhetoric fizzling out. They're nervous about next year's presidential election. The Democrats need Trump impeached so that they can keep us in the Paris Agreement.
Paris, yeah.
And that. Yep, and so much how rides on this presidential election. Now, mind you, in 4 years, so let's say Trump wins, and hopefully, prayerfully, he wins again, because it's yet another 4 years that we have a chance of saving our country from this doom and gloom nonsense called massive regulation, fines, fees under climate change and climate legislation and fundamentally transforming the United States of America into part of the EU under this global governance system to save planet Earth from human beings and, water vapor, since water vapor is the the biggest
the greenhouse gas. That's right. more abundant one than CO2.
Oh, my gosh. You know how just interviewing some of these young people on what is the biggest greenhouse gas, they cannot identify it. They don't even know, and yet they keep saying, oh, but the science tells us. I interviewed
now,
one with a 30-year-old.
You mentioned that Greta gave some type of scientific dissertation. I haven't really heard anything from her that she has any understanding of the science. She's just regurgitating, you know, what she's heard. So does she have any, is she some type of researcher that, I think she's just reading articles from the various left-wing sources that are promoting this?
I don't, you know, this is the big question for me, and thank you for asking that. I don't know if she has, what is it called when you picture something, like you read something and it just is like emboldened in your brain. What is that called?
Photographic memory.
I don't know if she has. She has Asperger's, which means she has probably some OCD symptoms, right? And you know, like Naomi Seip, she has a bit of OCD, but she's super smart, Naomi, and so is Greta. Naomi, when you listen to her speak, she is brilliant. She is calm at 19 years old. She is a fantastic communicator. Greta is too. She's phenomenal. I witnessed firsthand as part of press. I got into her big speech at the end where she was talking science. I'm not kidding, Al, I could have spit on her. I was that close to Greta.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had several interactions with her. At least three times I ran into Nancy Pelosi. I asked Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I was getting close to people. Al Gore shook my hand. the many things.
And you'll never watch
it
again, I'm sure.
But, you know, even people were like just going, and I, you know, I know God is putting me at the right place at the right time. Many people are, you know, like from CFAC and Heartland and New American Magazine were going, oh, my gosh, Debbie, it's amazing how close you get to these people. You are, like, always at the right place at the right time. And mind you, there's 25,000 people plus at this conference.
Wow.
But somehow, you know, I just happened to be at a place where I was getting free food, for example. And at the end of the day, and I'm like, I need food. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, well, before Al Gore comes in the room. And I'm like, what? So I'm like, okay, I better be prepared. He's going to come in. Where is he going to talk? He's probably going to be at the front of the stage. So I make my way to the front of the stage. But the same thing with, you know, with Greta at this very unique press conference, press opportunity where the press got to get really close to her. Otherwise, they have to race and they have to push each other and push the United Nations police, and the United Nations police are pushing you. I know because I got pushed myself. They're very uh-huh. aggressive when it comes to Greta. It's unreal. It's like she's a movie star. People are crying around her. They're yelling, don't push her. Get out. You know, it's just, it's a crazy frenzy. It's unbelievable. It's like,
it reminds me that, well, I was a little boy back then, but the Beatles, when they first came to the United States, these girls were passing out at their porch, you know, and it's all manipulated. She's a smart little young lady, 17-year-old now, but what's the fascination with her? You know, she's totally created by the mass media, by the corporate media and the UN and all of the folks behind her. Yeah.
Yeah, and people are saying Greta for president. You know, another place where I got pretty close to her too, this was quite, I don't know, bizarre. I on Friday, I think it was the 6th, December 6th, there was a great big climate change march. And while the local police, I mean, they set up for this thing in Madrid, all the major street, Calle de Prado, or Del Prado, one of their major, major streets, was shut down. And so I was there, and the local police say there were 15,000 people in protest. It was way more than that. It was at least 3 miles long, this march. It started at 5 p.m., 5:30 p.m., somewhere in there in Madrid time, and it didn't end till after 11 p.m., And I'm not kidding, Al, how I was walking with the protesters, taking video with my press pass. So I was, you know, up close and personal to all these people. But for, you know, that straight 5.5 hours, I didn't stay till 11:30. I, at like 10 o'clock, was like, I'm out of here. I've got too much, you know, work to do for covering the conference. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, you know, it was wall-to-wall people, if you will, or street-to-street people. You could barely move. Once you got to the end of the protest, you could barely move. And it was everything from chanting to people playing music to big banners to costumes. I mean, it was like a parade, but a parade full of so many people that there was pushing, and it was pretty. I mean, at the same time, you've got all the Christmas lights in Madrid. And so it was just, and it was a cool night. It was just, you know, surreal.
It sounded like it was unsustainable. It must have been an incredible carbon footprint of all that humanity there.
I don't know. Perhaps. But anyway, at the end, it was like everybody funneled in and got squished together, because at the end of this, you know, this, they say 5 kilometers of protesting was a big stage. It was a huge stage, and their local famous actor who was in No Country for No Men or something like that, whatever that movie was.
No Country for Old Men,
does that
yes.
Sound right?
No, yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, and the killer, I heard the famous Madrid actor was the killer in that movie. He got up on stage and was saying stupid Trump, in Spanish, he was calling him stupid Trump and stupid to his mayor. And then,
by the way, the man who starred in that movie is Tommy Lee Jones, who was Al Gore's roommate. I don't know if there's any connection there, but just a coincidence, perhaps.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. That's super interesting. Well, this guy, so there were a lot of performances going on. I had just, I started following these indigenous people who were, had started a fire. It was like some ceremonial thing. And I kind of got swept into, imagine just thousands and thousands of people cramped in. And all of a sudden, a certain group of people who are given the, you know, the hall, or people make way for this certain group of people, these indigenous people in costume, and they have this small torch that's lit. And so there, I got into that stream, I guess you could say, and now all of a sudden I'm a stone's throw away from the stage. And about 10 minutes later, it's like 9:30 at night, and I don't know I didn't even know there was a stage at the end of this and a performance and bands. I had no clue at the end of this huge march that's what, you know, this was leading to. I kept saying, you know, about 3 hours into the march, I kept saying, when is this thing going to end? And Hal, it hit me. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. Truly, when is this nonsense going to end? When is all this crap and this, sorry if that's a bad word here, I hope it's not. When is all this rhetoric and these lies and these fudged numbers of their science and the science, and when is this going to end? And it felt endless. Even the march felt endless. This feels endless. So to go to the stage, I'm like a stone's throw away from the stage. And lo and behold, about 10 minutes later, after I, you know, couldn't go anymore, I'm stuck. There's no way I'm going forward, to the right, to the left, or behind me. And all of a sudden, this kid in a wheelchair is wheeled onto the stage. And in Spanish, the only word I could understand, even though I know some Spanish, is Greta.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Greta comes on stage. And I've got three cameras. I've got my spy camera, I've got my cell phone camera, and I have my real camera. And I'm trying to, you know, get some good pictures, because that's my goal, is to, for CFACT and for New American, you know, to go there and get as much good footage of this stuff as I can. But, you know, I can't even believe that so Greta gets up on stage and she says, but the authorities say there's 15,000 people, but she said there's more like 500,000 people at this march.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless,
it sounds
Triumph
of the Will, which was the German Nazi propaganda movie, Triumph der Willen, you know, massive crowds and people mesmerized and, you know, this emotional rhetoric and such. That's what it sounds like. You know, the left is very good at these things. Debbie, we have less than a minute. I'd like you to be able to share some of your videos when you get a chance, when you get back home and have a little breathing space, and on our YouTube channel, if that's okay, or definitely anything you write, we'd like to have you do an article for our blog.
Absolutely. So, I'm not so great at writing articles. But I definitely have so much footage. I spent my time with the New American magazine, so be sure Alex Newman is going to be at Camp
Alex
Constitution.
Newman, yeah.
So be sure. We had a lot of fun together, and he did together. We worked on some great articles. A big conversation was depopulation at this this conference.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But and I was able to ask Nancy first face to face about Agenda 21. So I'll send you that video. Of course, she did
yes.
want to answer
yeah.
my question.
Yeah, and she's the one back you know, the little clip of her from 1992 or 93 when she's trying to pass a resolution at the House of Representatives. That was very interesting. So she's an old.
She does
Agenda
not want to talk about
advocate.
It.
Yeah. Anyway,
she
folks,
does not want to talk about Agenda 21.
Debbie, thanks for coming on, and if I don't hear from you before Christmas, I'm sure I will, but may you have a Merry Christmas and safe travels back to
Merry
the
Christmas.
USA, and thank you for your incredible reporting. And folks, you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff, and until next week, may God richly bless you.
God bless you. Merry Christmas.